Amen. Thank you, Judy. Open your Bibles here this morning, the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. And Tom, my message here this morning is the cry of the needy, the cry of the needy. Verse 13 says, "Whoso stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself and shall not be heard." Let's pray here this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you that we can pray to a God who does hear and answer prayer. And Lord, you're a great and mighty God. You fill heaven and earth with your glory, and the heavens declare the glory of God. And you're Almighty God. You know the end from the beginning. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You hold the keys of life. And Lord, I give you thanks that we can gather around your holy word, thy truth, and thy word is truth. Father, thank you for the inspiration and the illumination your word gives to us, God. And Father, as we gather around it here this morning, speak to our hearts, and I pray I'd be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and honors your word. And Father, your name is holy and high and lifted up, and there's no God like our God. So Lord, bless us as your people, the sheep of your pasture. We want to be fed in the green pastures and the still waters. May you feed us, God. And Father, help us, Lord, in our lives that we may honor you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Dr. James Simpson, when he was a medical student, this is years ago, and he was watching a lady whose leg was having to be amputated as a student. And this was the days before there was no anesthetics or any painkiller that they could use. And it was such a horrifying experience for this young medical student. He walked out of the classroom and said, "I am never going to be a doctor. I can't do this to people." In the Civil War times, they used to find bullets on the battlefield that the lead was, they gave a man to bite on a bullet while they were having to do surgery after he was wounded. You know, pain is a terrible thing. But Dr. Simpson, he thought about this, and he thought within himself, can I do anything to help people when they're having surgery not to have pain? And he was the pioneer that developed that whole arena of things that could minimize the pain that people went through during surgery. He discovered chloroform. That's what they used to minimize your pain in the early days. You know, why did he give his life to that? Because he had compassion on people. He saw their crying and pain, and it bothered him to the point he didn't even want to be a doctor. But then he thought, well, maybe there's something I could do to help. And that's what he did. And verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor? You know, people do cry out in pain. Pain is a terrible thing. Have you ever been in pain? I've been in pain. There's physical pain. I remember I had some back issues one time, and I can remember going to the grocery store and pushing the cart. And you ever had you have a back seizure? You ever had a seizure that pain just grips you all of a sudden? I was walking across the park holding the cart, and all of a sudden that pain hits me and just froze me right in the parking lot. I couldn't move an inch. And back spasm. But you know, there's other kinds of pain. That's physical. How about emotional pain? You ever had that emotional pain deep in your heart? You know, if you're in pain, whether it's physical or emotional, if somebody helps you, how do you feel about that? Does that bless you? Are you thankful? Somebody helps you? You know, we all find ourselves sometimes crying out in pain. But look at verse 13. Now, the thing about Proverbs, and I've said this many times, these are golden nuggets. It's like all this truth just packed into a little few sentences. I've said it before, Proverbs is short on words but long on experience and wisdom. That's a Proverbs. And that little verse here, you know, you could read that verse and just keep flying right by it, but you stop at it. Whoso stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor? And so you got two people here, the poor person that's in pain and the person that hears the pain, stops his ears. Now, you know, verse 13 can be greatly expanded on. In the New Testament, there's a story about somebody who was in pain. Turn to Luke chapter 10 here for a moment. We're going to look at some different passages here, but turn to Luke 10 here. About a man in pain. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. And verse 30 says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem," Jerusalem being elevation high and going down, "to Jericho, and he fell among thieves," robbers, "people who took from this man, which stripped him of his clothing, his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead, totally knocked out." Would you say that person's in pain? Would you say that's a very painful situation? I would say that. Very painful. When that man got up that morning, he wasn't expecting that to happen to him. He wouldn't have gone down that road if he knew this was going to happen to him. He would have avoided it. The thieves would often wait behind rocks and things, and you'd just be unsuspecting, and they would just jump out at you and rob you and take your belongings, and they don't care about you. When I was in Papua New Guinea with my son Tim here a number of years ago, we were traveling down the road and going in the vehicle, and all of a sudden, a bunch of people surrounded the road, and Tim had to stop, and the guy had to come up to the vehicle, and guess what he wanted? "And some money, and we'll let you through." And they still have that in Papua New Guinea. They'll stop you on the road and get money from you. Robbers. That's how they treat people. They don't care about you. They just want your money. This man's in pain here. He was stripped, wounded, leaving half dead. Now, what's interesting about this story? Now, Jesus weaves us together. He's weaving a story here because certain kinds of people walk by this man. And in Proverbs 13, it's not stopping their ears, so to speak. Now look at verse 31. A certain priest that way, when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Okay, let's think about this for a minute. He obviously saw him because he passed by on the other side. He saw the situation. And what might have gone through this priest's mind? "I don't want to get involved. I'm in a hurry." If he was dead, would that have been good for a priest to touch him? He would have been what? Unclean. He would have been ceremonially unclean, so he didn't want to defile himself because he couldn't do his religious duties if he was unclean for the day. So he hurried by. What did Proverbs 21:13 say? "Whoso stoppeth his ear at the cry of" what? "The poor." Would you say at some level this priest stopped his ears? I would say he stopped his ears at some level. He didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to get involved in this situation. He passed by on the other side. No compassion. No compassion. Likewise, a Levite, okay, you got another guy coming along. Where he was at the place, came and looked on him. Now, it's a little different here. First one passed by, the second guy came by and he looked, checking it out, but he didn't do anything. Now, the first guy might have had some sympathy. The second guy might have had some empathy. He kind of looked at him, little more involves sympathy and empathy. Empathy is a little more. You're starting to, you see it, but you're still not doing anything. So in the final analysis, is there any difference between the first guy and the second guy on compassion? Any difference? No. Same result. Zero. He passed by on the other side, verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now, did Jews and Samaritans get along? No. For a Jewish person, when they would travel, instead of going through the land of Samaria, they would cross the Jordan, go up, and cut back over, and they wouldn't go through the land of Samaria. They were unclean people there. They were half-breeds. They were people that forsook Judaism. Jew had no dealings with Samaritans. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had, what's that next word? Compassion. Now, how would you define compassion? I heard somebody say it like this. That is love in action. See, wherever you see the word compassion in Scripture, there's always an action with it. Jesus was moved with compassion. We saw they were without a shepherd, multitude without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion toward them. Whenever you see the word compassion, there's always some action to that. See, it's one thing to have sympathy for somebody. It's another thing to have empathy for somebody. But when you have compassion, it, all of a sudden it motivates you to do something. You move from just feeling about it or thinking about it, feeling about it, to where you're doing something about it. And this man had compassion on him, love in action. And he went to him. Now, think through this now. He went to him, bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, antiseptic, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Was that a little bit inconvenient? Did that change his day? Was he planning on that? No. See, when you have compassion on people, is it going to take from your resources? Now, what are our resources? We have resources of time, resources of money, resources of knowledge and skill. We have all kinds of resources. And when we have compassion on people, it's action, but that action is going to draw from your resources and transform to the needy person. Because if this man had been left long enough, he might have what? Died. Might have died. And see, when you have compassion on people, they are helpless. They have no resources to take care of themselves. And so when we have compassion on people, there's a certain level that our resources are transferred to them. Whatever our resources may be at that moment to help them, we're transferring them. And took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. In other words, okay, he's in this inn, and the caretaker, the host, all right, you see that he gets his wounds well, and I'm going to go here, and when I come back, if it costs you more, I'm going to take care of you. That's love in action, and that's sacrifice. Now, for that Jewish man, how do you think he felt laying in that bed in that inn, thinking about that Samaritan? How do you think he felt? Very what? Grateful? Would that seem logical? He'd feel thankful? And if he was a Jewish man that thought about God much, he probably would have been thanking God for this man that was used in his life to help him at his point of need. In And Jesus asked this penetrating question in verse 36, and he said, verse 36, which of the three thinkest thou was a neighbor to him that fell among thieves? Who was the neighbor that showed love, showed compassion? And the Pharisee here answered the lawyer, he that showed mercy or love and compassion on him. And the point of the whole story, Jesus said, go and do thou what? Likewise. That's the point of it. See, Jesus doesn't tell these stories to entertain us. He tells us so that we might do this thing. Now, this little golden nugget here in verse 13 of chapter, whosoever stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry what? What's the rest of that verse say? He also shall cry what? Himself. Oh, wait a minute here. You mean there might come a time in my life when I'm in need? Now, see, this is how it works. See, sometimes you might have a need. You don't have a need right now, but years down the road, you might have a need. You ever heard of the law of the harvest? You know what I mean? You'll reap what you've what? Sown. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what? Mercy. And if God looks at my life and I've been good to people and I've taken my resources and my time and my efforts and I've blessed them, when I get in a point of need, you know what? I want my prayers to be heard. I want to be on praying ground. Because if I have hurt other people here and here and here and I've stopped my ear at their needs and I just live my life just taking care of me, myself, and I, believe it or not, you're going to get, I don't care how high and mighty you are, one time in your life, you're going to find yourself in a point of need. You're going to be there sooner or later. And I want to so put my life so that I know I'm under the umbrella of God's blessing. Because if I stop my ear at the cry of the poor, God says, you're robbing yourself of a blessing. Well, turn to Matthew 18 here for a moment. Matthew 18, to kind of drive this thought home a little bit more. Matthew 18. Now, verse 21. Remember when I was talking about pain? What if somebody's offended you and hurt you and sinned against you, caused you pain? Verse 20, Peter said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Peter's thinking, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 times, Lord? Is that how many times he's made me mad and hurt me? Verse 22, I say unto you, not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. 490 times? No. Don't even keep track. Don't even try to keep track. See, if your brother repents and he's caused you pain, you forgive him. Well, he told us this story. Peter, I want to emphasize this a little bit to you. Aaron King one time, kingdom. What's the kingdom of heaven like? If you're living in God's kingdom and you're a kingdom people, what's it like? Well, I'll tell you what it's like here. A certain king, which would take account of his servants, when he began to reckon, it brought unto him one that owed him 10,000 talents. Now, how much would that be? That would be millions upon millions, of astronomical amount. Okay, to lay this out here. How many times have you sinned against God? How many? Name them. You can't. Because I guarantee you, you've offended God in ways you don't even know yourself. By your attitude, your actions, your pride. You've done things to God you have no even understanding of. You have no idea how much of a debt of sin you have to God. And so if God has released you of all that debt that you couldn't pay. Now, what's interesting, read further here. Here he says, he reckoned they owed him 10,000 talents for as much as he had nothing to pay. You can't pay for your sins. What are you going to do with your sin? Blame others? That's not going to work. God knows what you did. You're going to hide it? God knows everything. What are you going to do with it? You know, it's like a man before a judge, you know, he killed somebody and the man goes to the judge. I pay my taxes. Judge says, I don't care if you paid your taxes. You murdered this man. You're guilty. But officer, when he arrested me, I told him, you know, I always paid my taxes. Do you see your righteousness doesn't do anything for your sin? It doesn't take it away. If you're guilty of a crime, you're guilty. What are you going to do with that? How many lies have you ever told? And if you say you never lied, you just told another one. You know, if God was to start naming sin, we would have a debt we would never pay. Never. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded that he be sold, his wife, his children, all that he had, and payment be made. Whatever he had was taken away from him. He had nothing. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped, prostrated himself, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now, look, what was his request? I will pay thee all. He was asking for an extension of what? Time. He didn't say, forgive me. He said, I just give me more time. But this debt was impossible to pay. He couldn't pay it back. But in his mind, he was thinking, if I just had more time. Well, the king realized, I don't care how much time I give you, it's never going to get paid. The Lord of that servant was moved with what? Compassion. And released him and forgave him the debt. Now, the Apostle Paul, he said he was a chief of what? Sinners. Do you feel that way about yourself? Paul said, I'm not worthy to be what? An apostle. He said, I am the least of all the what? Apostles. Do you know, when you see how great a sinner you are, you see how great a Savior you have. And this king loosed him and forgave him of the debt. When Paul on the road to Damascus and a bright light hit him and Jesus said, stand upon your feet to Paul. You know, when he had the forgiveness of God in his life, he never forgot that. Never forgot how God forgave him. Could God have found him guilty on the road to Damascus? Could God have condemned him there? And would God have been just if he did? He would have been just. You got what you deserve. Paul, you murdered people. You were there and my servant Stephen was stoned. I saw you do that, holding the cloak of them. But when he says, stand upon your feet, and he felt that forgiveness of God just all over him, he never got over it. And I hope you don't get over it when God forgives you of your sin. And you're cleansed. Your past, your present, your future sins are gone. And not to miss this point, why are they gone? Because Jesus Christ took them all on himself when he died on the cross. Our sin bearer, he took them all. What a great Savior we have. You know, this king had compassion on this fellow servant, forgave him the debt. Now, verse 28 and found, this is something that's unspeakable, unbelievable. It's like, it can't happen, but let's read. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a few dollars. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the what? Throat. Can you almost picture this in your mind? He just went out and grabbed this guy. You ever seen somebody so angry, just grab somebody around the throat? I've seen pictures of this. People pinned up against the wall and somebody's got them by the throat. You get that imagery. This guy's brutal. Pay me what you owe me. Now, just a little bit before, he was totally what? Forgiven. Had compassion. And then he goes out and treats somebody else the exact opposite of what he just experienced. Unbelievable. Pay me what thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down and besought him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. The same words. Exact same words. And he would what? Not. But went and cast him in the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. They were like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Did you see what he just did? And they went and told the king, told the Lord. Then the Lord, after he had called him, said to them, O wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. You asked me to. You begged me. Should not thou also had what? Compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. Now, the Lord was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brothers their trespass. Compassion, forgiveness. You know, all these things flow together. Compassion, forgiveness, mercy, love. All these things, they're different, but they all flow together down the same river when you know God. God is love. And out of a Christian's life, they have a certain way they live and a certain way they act. It all flows out of a true believer's heart. When he was delivered to the tormentors, you know, his question wasn't, Lord, forgive me. He just said, have patience with me. I'll pay thee all. He was trying to work his way out. You cannot work your way out of your sins. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven. If you try to be good enough to go to heaven, guess what? You're not going to be good enough. Because you can't be. Romans 3:23, for all have what? Sin. All means all, and that's all means. That's everybody. None of us are as good as God. If you try to work your way out, and that's what that man tried to do, try to work his way out, you're gonna not make it that way. What does verse 13 say of chapter 20? Whoso stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself and not be heard. You know, a true believer will never be like this servant, because a true believer is going to have the love of God flowing in and out of them. We don't have time. Luke 15, the prodigal son, verse 20. He arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know what that father was doing? He was standing there watching for his son. Before his son even got there, he saw him coming. Now, could his father have been angry at his son? He could have. But because of compassion, he moved toward him. And God is moving toward us because he has compassion on us and he loves us. But we got to have that heart that embraces him and turns to him. In the book of Jude, verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God. When you love God, you keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ on eternal life. And of some have compassion making a what? Difference. Making a difference. You got a week before you. Are you a man or woman of compassion? Do you love those that don't love you? Are you good to those who aren't good to you? Let's be men and women of compassion this week. Let us pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've looked at this topic of having compassion on one another and hearing the cry of the poor and realizing our own debt toward you and, Lord, how you've forgiven us, help us to be compassionate toward others that are less fortunate than us. Help us to relieve the pain and misery that people find themselves in, whether physically or emotionally. Lord, help us to reach out to others that are less fortunate than ourselves and to see their need. Father, may we feel their pain in our hearts to have compassion on them. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your love for us as your people, that you have given your only Son for us, the just for the unjust, that you might bring us to God. So thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for having compassion on me and for each of the saints of God gathered here today, Lord, that have experienced the grace of God. Father, we're indebted to you as your people. But Lord, help us to take this love, this compassion, and this forgiveness to others around us, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.